Yes, Vember at the Star Sydney. With so much happening, how could you say no?
And here we go.
Buckle up.
Here we go.
Because the run home just got a little bumpier. Rush, rush, rush.
You cannot be serious.
I've got to see you every friggin' week.
There's got to be an investigation to this.
This is the Triple M Rush Hour with MG.
There are some very, very big names listening to this show today, MG, who are going to be nervous about whether they make the final ever power rankings on this show.
Yes, it's quite a sad power rankings today. Obviously, it's our last one. Over the last 4 years, we've made it a staple of our diet here on the Rush Hour. But today's is a looking back and walking down memory lane as we go back over our five best guests over the last 4 years on the Rush Hour.
And that is the full gamut of sport. You're talking rugby league. You're talking AFL. You're talking rugby union. You're talking surfers. You're talking UFC, boxers. We have had them all. And we are going to attempt to boil them down into five.
It's hard.
Into five.
Well, our task was yesterday, myself and you and Charlie and Tony, we'll come up with our top five and our contrasting. But in the end, I think we've got the right list.
All right, that's coming up towards the end of the show. Wade Graham's going to join us as well. We've got to talk about the Tigers with the news that it's this Josh Hodgson deal. It's trying to get the English Raider to Concord for next season, looks to have fallen through. What does that mean for them now? What does it mean for them in the future? But off the top, we need to talk some cricket.
What's cracking?
Oh, MG, it feels like a lifetime ago that Tim Payne actually stood down from the Test captaincy now. It only happened last Friday.
Dragged on, hasn't it?
And yet, it still drags on. Yesterday, Cricket Tasmania taking aim at Cricket Australia for the way that they've handled things. Now there's reports of a dressing room rift with the governing body of the sport. We need to get to the bottom of this. So we bring in a friend of the show and the man that will be a huge part of Triple M's Ashes coverage when it kicks off. First test at the Gabba, Brad Haddon. G'day, Hads.
Afternoon, boys. Never boring week in cricket, is there?
Well, Hads, we've just had 6 months of rugby league when it's their turn to be under the spotlight. Now it's cricket's turn. Look, it's been a tumultuous last few days. Let's just first start. Let's get Timmy Payne out of the way. As a former keeper of the Australian Test cricket team, what do you make of the whole scenario, brother?
Yeah, it just to me looks messy. If I'm being completely honest, Tim Payne's obviously done the wrong thing, and he was punished and cleared many years ago. And I just found it really interesting how the government body came out and said, "Oh, under our regime, he would never have been put into the position of Australian captain." But they knew about that when they came in. So to me, that they're just little pot shots that don't need to happen. It's just all got ugly now. Cricket Tasmania are involved. There's also a family involved as well. Tim Payne and his wife Bonnie. They have to relive this again. So to me, it's just been a really messy situation. And to me, a lot of people look like they're trying to pass blame just rather than deal with it. And I think Tim's done that and now trying to move on.
Yeah, you got to, I mean, for putting the behaviour itself aside, the way Tim Payne and Bonnie, his wife as well, giving that interview over the weekend have come out, it's very commendable. Do you think he still makes the 11 as a keeper on his without the captaincy next to his name, Hats?
If Tim Payne's fit and if he's over his neck injury and he's got enough cricket under his belt, he's still the best gloveman in our country. The question remains, has he recovered in time from that neck injury? And if he hasn't got enough cricket, Tim Payne lines up 100% in the first test. And I'll tell you who the best person to judge on that is going to be Tim Payne. He's 37 years of age. He's not going to go into a test match with Australia underdone and think he'll put too much pressure on his teammates. He'll make the call himself. He's a grown man. He's played enough cricket now, and playing for Australia means enough to him, and especially in this campaign, that he'll be the best judge of that.
And so, I mean, and I think you can, if he's prepared to put, you know, step down from the Test captaincy, MG, I think you could probably trust him to make a judgment call on his availability for the team.
Yeah, and I suppose, you know, physically and emotionally, you know, what he's gone through in the last week or so, and let's not forget there's another lady in at the end of this as well, besides his wife, who was involved as well. And so it's I get what Had says. I think it's all been handled, you know, pretty murkily by a lot of people, and in particular, both boards who are having pot shots at each other isn't good for the game.
No, Had, if Tim puts his hand up, or if they come to him and JL sit down and they go, "You're not quite ready to go," who comes in? Is it Alex Carey? Does Josh Inglis get a crack? Who do you think should be next man up in as the keeper?
Yeah, I think we've got a decision to make. I think Alex Carey will get first crack. But there's a guy, Josh Inglis, who's biting at Kerry's heels at the moment, which I think is a really good thing. I like pressure for positions, especially for the Australian team. And there's even a guy, Jimmy Pearson from Queensland, who's going well also. But I think Kerry's earned the right to have first crack. So I think if anything does happen to Timmy Payne decides not to play, I think Kerry will get first crack. But going back to Justin Langer, one of Justin Langer's big strengths, he won't worry too much about the cricket. He'll worry about the man first. He'll sit down, he'll leave all the cricket stuff to his staff. And one of his strengths is making sure the player's in the best headspace he can to play the test match. And he'll spend time with Tim Payne, he'll talk to him, and they'll make the decision whether he's right to play or not. And that's one of JL's real strengths. He'll judge the man and worry about the cricket later.
Does Paddy Cummins get the captaincy, Hads?
Yeah, I think it's leaning that way. I think he's vice-captain of the Australian cricket team now. He's earned the right. I think the big decision, who's vice-captain, I think Steve Smith has done his, he served his suspension. And I think you need an experienced head as vice-captain as well, because fast bowls, it's a tough gig. Last summer, we sort of over-bowled our bowlers a bit, probably played them in too many test matches and need to give them a break. So I think we need an experienced head in Steve Smith as VC. That's the way I think it'll go.
Well, MG, you'd know that as a former fast bowler in your younger days. As you finished your over, you're trotting off down to fine leg, your eyes aren't on the fielding games and all the changes.
Yeah, mate, look, Peters from Green Shield, mate, they would tell you all about it. Big left arm over, big Bruce Reid type, Yorkers, in-swinging Yorkers, bat at number four. But I captain from third man. So, yeah, it can be done.
Brad Haddon, he is raring to go, closing in on the Triple M Ashes coverage at the Gabba, starting very, very soon. Hads, can't wait to hear from you on the coverage.
Mate, can't wait. Stay safe, boys.
This summer, the rivalry between Australia and England is set to explode. January 5th to the 9th at the SCG. Tickets are now on sale at Ticketek. The Vodafone Ashes series, it just means more. MG, yesterday we talked about the Dolphins drama. They can't seem to land a marquee player as yet. Today, we've got to look at the troubled Tigers. The report out today from our man Reedy and Peter Bedell for News Corp is that the Josh Hodgson deal from the Raiders is off. The Tigers were obviously looking to get him on board for the start of 2022, playing that number nine role, potentially sending one of their hookers, Simpkin or Little, back in return. They were looking to contribute a portion of Josh Hodgson's salary. The report suggests that they weren't prepared to give enough for the Raiders to agree to the deal, so it is off the table.
Disappointing, but not the end of the world. You know, they've still got two young guys in Little and Simpkin who can fill that void, you know, admirably. Look, they have got Adam Dewey out for a long period of time in the 2022 season. Their team on paper going into the first four or five rounds isn't one of the strongest. In fact, it's probably one of the weakest on paper. But how many times have we said we don't win games on paper? Mm. And I think that's the cold hard facts. We're going to see the real Tigers in these early rounds next season. We're going to see the real Tigers. And whether Madge will last more than a month or not, I think we will know within 2 weeks whether the Tigers have come to fight or not. And this offseason is so pivotal for them. So pivotal. They've got to really produce and dig deep this offseason. Look at each other in the eye. And what I've seen from some of the guys who I follow on social media, like the Sean Blaws of the world and the Offen and Gowies, who I've seen some things he's been doing. My young Blake Mav's doing a Cert 3 in fitness, and Joe Offen and Gowies doing it with him via links, via Zoom. And some of the things that Mav's been telling me about him is very impressive. So, look, it's not all doom and gloom for the Tigers. It might look so on paper, but it's not all doom and gloom. They've got some kids there who are coming through. They've got some real talent that they've got to exploit. They've got to get into the team. And I think having BJ Lalua leaving the team and going to Featherstone now, that they need a strike centre. They need someone who can get the ball and score tries. Is James Roberts that man? Well, I don't know. But I think he's on a trial and train type contract at the moment, which could be the best thing in the world for him. Mm. When you realise what you haven't got anymore, you all of a sudden get really hungry. So he could be the shock X factor for them next year, and along with don't forget Tyrone Peachy.
Yeah, well, and Isaiah Papali'i. That's the only. And I know he's not coming over till 2023. But MG, if we go back a couple of weeks ago, you laid out a 3-point plan for this club, what Tim Sheens needed to do now that he had his feet under the desk. One of those things was restore confidence in the fans and the playing group. And they did that by bringing Benji Marshall back into the fold.
Tick.
Next one, you said they needed a big kill. Now, he's not coming till 2023, but you would argue Isaiah Papali'i is that big kill.
Yeah, and I think they'll have one more in him. I think they'll get another one of the Sheens, but watch this space.
Tick. The other point in your plan was that they sit, you wanted to see Luke Brooks front the media, either with Tim Sheens or with Madge Maguire or by himself, and, you know, publicly state that resolute commitment to the club. That I don't want to go to the Knights, I don't want a fresh start, I want to be here at this club. That's the one thing we still haven't seen as yet.
And that's the one thing I'm still worried about. The longer this drags on, the longer that doesn't happen, the longer he's being linked to the Newcastle Knights, the more chance it is of happening. And I think that could be chaos for the Tigers. That could be real chaos.
I wonder if Benji must have put a call in already, or at least sat down and had a coffee with him. This is a guy that Benji shared the field with a lot. And I'm just thinking, because, you know, you got Joey Johns up the M1, you know, dangling the carrot of his experience and his hands-on tutelage, offering it to Luke Brooks. I wonder what Benji said to Luke Brooks down here, back at Concord.
Oh, look, it's not just Benji either, Liam. It's Noddy Kamwali, who has joined the ranks of the Tigers as well. So you've got an international in Benji and an Origin player in Noddy Kamwali, who, between them, they make up a good Andrew Johns, if you know what I mean. So I don't think it's the experience of the mentors that are kind of driving Brooks. I think it's more of the what's happened to him in the past and being the punching bag of so many critics while wearing that Tigers jersey that's going to be the main factor in whether he signs on again or not.
Pretty not underestimated, but kind of because he's been out of that coaching space for a little bit, you forget what Brett Kamwali could bring to that West Tigers outfit.
Yeah. I think he'd make a really good coach. He's to the point. He keeps things very simple. So, yeah, look, I think Noddy Kamwali and Benji Marshall, if they can't convince Luke Brooks to stay in Tigerland, no one can.
Shop the latest barbecue range now at Harvey Norman. But right now it's Triple M's Beat the Pom, isn't it? Triple M's Beat the Pom.
Beat the Pom continues, MG. We've got barbecues to give away thanks to our mates at Harvey Norman. And all you have to do to win is be better at cricket trivia than our resident Pom Barmy Matt, who hasn't had a chance to answer a question as yet.
No, he's clawing his way. He's trying to get out of the cage we locked him in. Mm. And he's saying, I want to go at these questions.
How are we feeling today, Barmy Matt, as we welcome you in?
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, you better believe it. I've been some good contestants. So, yeah, maybe the questions need to get harder or the contestants less good, I reckon, because I fancy a barbecue.
Sounds like a whinging Englishman complaining about the questions not being hard enough. So
there's a stereotype for you, baby.
Playing off for the barbecue today, the man that will get first crack at it, is Ryan from Hay, MG.
From Hay? I just may.
Oh, no.
Go out and play in Hay. Hey, Rhino, how are you, my man? You're the first caller ever from Hay.
You'd be more than welcome, MG. We're struggling for numbers.
Oh, mate. Just give me the number 7 jersey and I'm in there, okay? I want to play halfback. Yeah, right. I want to kick for touch.
No worries, Captain.
Okay, brother. Good luck. Hey, the prize is the barbecue and it's a beauty.
And if you get it right, we'll throw in $100 cash so you can go buy some meat to christen the thing as well.
All right. Too easy.
Okay. Rhino, when was the last time Australia won the Ashes Series 5-0?
It'd be 2013-14.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
Our listeners are top notch, baby. Rhino from Hay. I just may. Yeah, baby.
I only know that because I don't know how many times I've sat there and watched a replay of Johnson Karen film.
Cricket porn. Well,
Barbie Matt, you'll have another crack tomorrow. Ryan, you are walking away with a Massport 4-burner barbecue thanks to our mates at Harvey Norman and $100 cash so you can go out and buy some meat to christen it in style. You can shop the latest barbecue range now at Harvey Norman. Ryan, enjoy the summer of cricket. Thanks, and enjoy the brand new barbecue.
Good on you, Rhino. Good on you, Matty.
Season, MG.
Thank you, brother.
MG, as we enter the final few shows of the rush hour, I'm very excited to have this man back on because it feels like an eternity since we last spoke to him.
Yeah, it does. And a lot's happened since we last spoke to the great man.
Well, the captain of the Cronulla Sharks joins us once more, Wade Graham. G'day, Wade.
G'day, boys. Thanks for having me. Great to be back on.
Wade, it's always great to hear your voice, mate. You're full of fun and optimism and we love hearing your voice. First of all, mate, how's the noggin going, my man?
Yeah, it's going good. It's going good. Obviously, I've had the extended break away from the game, give myself a really good chance to freshen up and stop beating up the body. And it was you know, it was the right thing to do and exactly what I needed. So I've had the break and now I've just enjoyed being getting back into the preseason with the team.
Well, we spoke to your new coach yesterday. What an impressive man he is, Mr. Fitzgibbon. And it's the first time we've spoken to him in the capacity of the first grade coach of the Sharks. In the past, it's been the assistant coach of the Blues. But I tell you what, he knows what he's talking about, this bloke.
Yeah, definitely. It's very exciting as a player to have Craig come across in that head coach capacity. It's been a while, you know, as long as I can remember Cronulla, since Shane Fleming, and they've had an external, you know, guy come in as head coach that hasn't been like brought up within that system. So it's been a fresh air. We know what he did as a player, and obviously the experience he has as an assistant coach across the Roosters. So to have him come in, and certainly his philosophy and his ideas, we're just scratching the surface of, but it's certainly been a great start, and I'm really happy with having him.
Wade, you're the captain. You got to make the tough calls. I'm going to ask you to make a tough call right now. Who are you more excited to play with, Nico Hines or Dale Finucane?
I might go up Curvo at the moment. I've done most of my training with Cam McInnes, mate, and he's been super impressive.
Yes.
So when the team was up in Queensland, Cam actually came across a bit early, and I did most of my training with him. And I'll tell you what, I just spent most of the time running behind him and looking at his back. He was that far in front. And he's been super impressive. He's a great guy, and he's probably the most I'm looking forward to the play with, actually.
Right. Yeah, well, Craig Fitzgibbon said as much. He said, look, you know, while it's good to have, you know, we spoke about Cam McInnes, we spoke about Nico Hines, spoke about Dale Finucane, and he said, they're great to have on board. Don't get me wrong, he said, but I'm so excited about the guys who have been there and played last year, and they made finals footy, and they're champ at the bit. He said, it's a great organisation to walk into. Can you feel that in the training thus far, even though it's only been a couple of weeks? Can you feel there's a different change in the air for the Sharkies?
Yeah, it's definitely a good vibe. I think just the whole, like I said, Fitzy brings his own philosophy and his own coaching style, and he's obviously, you know, he's got a wealth of knowledge. And just that new vibe and that new, you know, those new lessons and that new voice, you know, the young players respond to that straight away, and that you get exposed to new things and new ideas. And, you know, as you get out on the training field and you start putting it into practice, you just start to learn again and grow. And there's definitely a great vibe. Like, listen, we've only been training for 3-4 weeks, so it's early days, but It is a really good feeling, and I think the change has been good for everybody.
So what do you got planned, mate, over Chrissy? And that year, when do you break for your Christmas break as far as training goes? And what do you got planned with the fam?
For me, it's just quality time. My partner and kids have actually been over Canada visiting her family for the last 2 months. We're getting renovations on our house, so I haven't seen my boys in quite a while. They're back the 7th of December, so I'm counting down the days, and we'll just be keeping it quiet, mate, and spending some time together. It's been a while, and I'm looking forward to it.
Now, Wade, have we made the decision about the young fella who, if you follow Wade Graham on Instagram, his young fella, just converting the goal kicks with the golf club in hand, what path are we sending him down?
Golf, mate, golf.
Well, mate, he's been in Canada for 2.5 months, and he's got an ice hockey jersey.
So there you go.
He might come back with skates and a hockey stick.
Oh. Hey, speaking of people travelling overseas, have you jumped on the phone or lent Mitchell Pearson How to Speak French books?
No, I haven't yet, actually. I haven't. I might have to reach out to him. But, you know, he's close with Jimmy Maloney. So I think Jimmy, he's over there at the moment. If anyone can give him a hand, it's Mitch. The thing with Mitch is sometimes he doesn't know how to speak English, so I don't know if I'm going to be able to help.
Is this something you might think about at the end of your career, going over to Toulouse and playing in the English Super League with the Catalan Dragons?
Oh, it's definitely an option. Certainly when we're done over here, and it does have appeal to me and my partner with our children seeing that her first language is French. We want the boys to be as bilingual as they can be. So that does have an appeal to go over there, you know, at some stage of my career if I've still got some kilometres in the legs. But we haven't crossed that bridge yet. But when the time comes, we'll certainly look at it as a legitimate option, to be honest.
Yeah, when the time comes, Sharkies fans. Just everyone's just the whole of the Sutherland Shire just white-knuckled the steering wheel there for a moment. This is
when the time comes.
Well, Wade, it is an absolute joy to have you on the show again, especially as we wind up, not just for the year, but forever. Please promise you'll answer MG's phone calls when he calls you in breakfast hours, though, moving into next year, okay?
I will. And boys, before I go, just congratulations on everything over the years. You ran a great show. I've always had fun talking to you, and I wish you the best moving forward. All right, so good job.
You're a good man, mate. You're a good man, Wade. We love you, buddy.
The Sharks skipper, Wade Graham, a pleasure to have him on one more time. Wade, we can't wait to see you out on the field in 2022.
Go get him, brother.
Thanks, guys. I'll chat to you soon.
You're listening to The Rush Out with MG and Liam on Triple M. It's all thanks to our mates at The Star. We're almost at the end of Yesvember, MG.
Certainly are, mate, and it's yes to everything from dinner to drinks and first dates to bucks nights to hens parties. You know it. The Star will say yes to it.
Well, there's only a few days left of Yesvember, so go and get involved at the Star because there is so much happening at that place. How could you possibly say no? Now, MG, tomorrow on the show, Reedy's going to be back for the final ever installment of Reedy's Mail.
Yes.
And we're also going inside the Aussie Test squad. Producer Charlie has put a call in. He assures us that we will be inside the camp on tomorrow's show. Can't tell you who with, but we will be inside the camp.
They're strapper.
He's installed the phone line. And he's got us inside the dressing room. So
All I ask Charlie to do is put the CCTV camera in there. We'll be sweet.
Well, maybe he's responsible for the Bulldogs picture then. CCTV is not a good thing at the moment.
I wouldn't put it past him.
Yeah, all right. But before we finish up today, we've got to do one of these.
First time and last time we get our gear off. Quite a summer power rankings today. It's our last one. Over the last 4 years, it's been a staple of the Rush Hour's diet. We've loved our power rankings, and today we're going down memory lane as we look at our power rankings.
Yeah, we are. We're exploring the five best guests that we've ever had on this show. Now, we should say as a caveat, this does not include anybody who's been on the Triple M payroll. So with that,
all regulars.
Also, you get rid of Reedy, you get rid of Gerds, Dell, Maroon. You can even probably put a line through Woodsy, Wade Graham. These sort of stock and trade.
The Morris boys.
Heath Shaw. The stock and trade people that you hear from on a regular basis on this show.
Yes,
they don't come into consideration because they're family. These people are people that we've had, at least once, maybe a couple of times.
And they've made an impact on us.
They've left a mark on the Rush Hour show. So let's start it off.
Five.
That's a pretty broad one. It's the whole of the New South Wales Origin team who, from day one of Freddie Fittler's tenure, they've been so available to us, win, lose or draw. They've been available for you and Charlie when you go into the camps. They've been accommodating. And we just want to say to them a big thank you for the last 4 years because you've been awesome.
When they put that blue jersey on, they were so accommodating and we had a lot of fun with them over the years. They come in at number five.
Sure. Did have a karaoke night at the end of our last season and all the Aussies, pretty iconic song, Land Down Under.
Oh, yeah.
It just had to happen.
Made it work.
We were all tone deaf, so it was just like screeching. All the Americans just had, what is happening? And we're like, Vegemite sandwich.
Wasn't she a delight, Sally Fitzgibbon? And I must confess that when watching the latest Olympics, when she was surfing, it was kind of our whole family were interested because of the fact she left such a great mark on us. She's a beautiful girl, and we wish her all the success. And thanks for coming in the studio. That was even more awesome.
Three.
The professionalism has taken a lot of the characters out of the game. And, they're guys that are playing that would love to have played with us, and they say that openly. God, I wish we'd played in your era. And, all right, they'd be poor, but but they'd be rich.
Oh.
What a moment that was. Iron Gloves, Rod Marsh, arguably one of the best keepers of all time and one of the best characters in international and Australian cricket, and came and spent a good 30 minutes with us in the studio. And it was just kind of, we were standing there and I found ourselves, both of us, just hanging on every word he said because it took us straight to places. He talked about DK Lilly and he talked about Tony Gregg and he talked about Joel Garner. And I'm just going, my goodness, this is my upbringing. This is exactly what I watched when I was growing up. And he's telling us now as stories.
The two blokes who come ahead of him on this list we've had on multiple times, but that was my favourite standalone interview that we've ever done on the show. It was a half an hour of my life that I will never forget. It was a fantastic experience. Yeah.
Two. Look, it's been a long journey for me. Look, I was a migrant kid from Greece. I was only four when I went to school and basically, I was bullied in the kindergarten grounds. And what saved me was rugby league.
Rugby league.
Of course, that's the man, Peter Volandis, who no matter what time, what place, no matter where, he would Would Charlie put the call out to him? He'd say, "Yep, I'll come on and talk to the boys in the rush hour." And I think that's a bit of a pat on the back for us, because we did make a conscious effort on the rush hour to be positive about the sport.
Yeah,
it's a game that we love, and everyone can write and say bad things about it. And sometimes we had to say some bad things about it. But on a whole, as a rule, we've decided on the rush hour over the last 4 years to remain positive. And I think that's why Peter Vallandis, the godfather of our game, basically, you know, come on the show whenever we ask. Then it's without him, I don't know where we'd be, Liam, at the moment.
Yeah, a very deserving spot at number two. This is the power rankings of the greatest ever guests in the history of the Rush Hour. We had the New South Wales Rugby League side at five, Sally Fitzgibbons at four, Rod Marsh at three, Peter Vallandis at two, and now the greatest ever guest in the history of this show.
One.
My dad is a huge fan of the show, Like, he goes, he always used to go to me, he goes, "You know, that's how you know you made it, mate. You're on Triple M."
Oh, there's our promo.
Yes.
Of course, that's Robbie Whittaker. He was world champ at the time. Bobby Knuckles, just so accommodating. Went down to his gym at Smeaton Grange to do a training session with him. And again, Liam, one of them guys who's unaffected by stardom. He was the world champ. He brought his belt in, but his dad keeps him down to earth, because he said, "You know, you've made it, son, when you appear on Triple M for an interview." So, of course, he's number one.
I feel far more connected to Robert Whittaker than I probably am in reality. When he came in the first time, he was all suited and booted. We've spoken to him a couple of times when he's been in quarantine after and before fights. And then when we went out to his gym and we sat there and watched him train for half an hour, and he gave us another half an hour of his time in front of the cameras. You know, I feel like I could probably roll up to the gym tomorrow and he'd go, "Sorry, who?" But, you know, I feel connected to Bobby Knuckles. Yeah. I feel a part of it.
Yeah, we are. We're on his voyage. You know, we want the next fight against Israel Adesanya to take place. And another UFC fighter who was always accommodating but didn't quite make the list was Alex Volkanovski, the current champion of the world. And Anderson Silva, who else we had on as well, the Spider. So the UFC world is so accommodating. But Bobby Knuckles was fantastic. And we wish him all the strength in going forward and get that world title back, brother.
Absolutely. There are a host of notable omissions from that list, but there it is. The five greatest guests in the history of the show. New South Wales Rugby League team, Sally Fitzgibbons, Rod Marsh, Peter Vallandis, and Bobby Knuckles, Robert Whittaker at number one. MG, that's us done for today. Read his mail for the final time tomorrow on the show, and we'll be inside the Australian Test squad ahead of the Ashes first test at the Gabba.
For the third last time, thank you so much for your ears. He's Liam. I'm MG. Wherever you are, stay random.
Yes, Femba. At the Star Sydney. With so much happening, how could you say no?